Tacoma Lake United to open a depot serving the Austin Heights and Cottonwood neighborhoods, which are both pockets of low-income households in Coquitlam. At the time, I was in regular contact with the Social Responsibility Coordinator, Tacoma Lake United Church, in connection with the work of the Tri-City Housing Coalition. And when she expressed her concern over whether the members of Tacoma Lake United, an elderly lot, had the energy to sustain a weekly food bank depot, Kathy and I suggested that the folks at Beacon could perhaps share the load on alternating Wednesdays, and the rest is history. It's 10 a.m. As I cross the floor to the entrance door, numbers in hand, I feel the usual welling of anxiety. What kind of day will it be? Some days it's smooth sailing. Clients are in a good mood, grateful. Other days they're cranky. Perhaps anxious and embarrassed that they need to be here. Mostly it's a bit of both that I have to choose how to react. Today I decide to be cheerful to ward off any negative energy I'm about to encounter. I open the door, step outside, and greeted by a human mosaic. 60, sometimes 70 or 80 individuals lined up to receive a number, all sizes, all shapes, all colors, all ethnicities. Some clients had young children with them. I know very few of their names, but I do know their faces. Often the first in line is an Aboriginal man. We had a set to a year or so ago when he regularly had to leave his place in line to drive his wife to Royal Columbia Hospital for treatment. Since that time, we've been pleasant to each other. I realize I haven't seen Brenda for a while. She used to come very early, pulling a wagon behind her, which she would fill with whatever junk she came across on her trip here. I expect she was a hoarder. That's the thing about a food bank. People come when they need it, then they disappear. Who knows where? Did they find a job? Did they move? A few died. Pretty soon in the line come the Bhutanese, typically small people, the women dressed in their colorful saris and scarves or toques. They were a bit more scattered through the line than they used to be. I had many complaints about them holding places in line for their family and friends. I suppose after 20 years in a refugee camp in Nepal, being aggressive about what you need is a habit. We were able to locate a younger member of the Bhutanese community last spring who was fluent in English, and we were able to dispel some misunderstandings on both sides. We haven't had a complaint since then. One of the elder Bhutanese women holds out her hand for a number and then folds her hands in prayer and bows. I try to do the same, but feel self-conscious doing it. We have had several waves of immigrants and refugees pass through our food bank. When we first started in 2004, there were a large number of Farsi-speaking clients, both from Iran and Afghanistan. Many seem to have moved on since then. Then there were the Spanish speakers, Mexicans primarily, and Eastern Europeans speaking Russian. They were followed by Roma Hungarians, refugee clients, and now the Vietnamese. Often I have Faye beside me, and she hands out the numbers, sometimes struggling to separate them in the box with her fingers. Faye has the mind probably of a six-year-old, but this is her job, and she's very single-minded about it. I'm struck by how many of our clients seem to genuinely delight in Faye. About a year ago, I was approached by a worker from Community Ventures, a nonprofit society a few blocks away, who provides a daycare program for persons with developmental disabilities. The worker wondered whether we might be able to provide an opportunity for work for several of their clients. I frankly was skeptical, but we agreed that we could try to accommodate three of them with supervision between 10 and 11 a.m. before things got too busy. We haven't looked back since then. Faye handles the numbers as food bank clients continue to arrive, while Philip and Rick help with setting up the tables and bringing in the supplies when the short truck arrives. Philip's specialty is loading the refrigerator with a 3-liter jugs of milk for the Tiny Bundles program. No matter how many jugs we get, they're going into the refrigerator one way or the other. And their supervisor, Marion, is a dynamo, constantly at work, helping wherever needed. go closer to Mary. Back on the line, here is Lefty. The name reflects the neighborhood humor. Lefty has had his right arm amputated. Often loud but not threatening, I wonder what drug he is on today. Then the paranoid woman appears. She often complains bitterly about people bumping into her and hitting her. I assume she has a mental illness that sometimes is better managed than at other times. I need to be more accepting of her. Now comes an elderly gentleman of Farsi speaking, whom Kathy had registered when we first opened 8 years ago. His face was old then, deeply lined and worn, showing the signs of a life of hardship. Kathy wondered why such an aged person would leave all they had been familiar with, and was amazed to learn that he was not any older than she was. Here is Miss Cheerful. I can't remember her name, and I haven't figured out the relationships with the other family members with whom she comes, but she is always smiling, and some of the volunteers enjoy kidding her. To be fair, though, most of the clients in the line don't stand out. They are neither glad nor sad. They just don't have the resources to feed themselves or their families without the support of the food bank. The share truck arrives around 10:30 a.m. with the supplies for distribution, and now the real work begins. The volunteers and some of the clients pitch in to offload the truck. Many of the crates are heavy, and I worry about the health of our bags. There has been an evolution in the food services provided by the food bank since 2004, as well as a significant increase in the number of client households, all of which increase the volume and weight of the supplies that need to be unloaded. Up to 2008, a busy day might have been 80 to 90 households. Now it's in the range of 120 households, with peak days several times over 140. About 5 years ago, Cher introduced the Kind of the Tiny Bundles program for pregnant mothers and households with a child under 12 months of age. Clients on this program can come every week instead of the normal every second week. In addition to regular food supplies, also receive milk, eggs, and fresh produce. The intent is to provide better nutrition for children in the room and up to 1 year of age. The original intention was to extend the program to the second and third year of life, but funding has not been sufficient to do so. The second innovation was introduced a year or so ago when Cher connected with a food distribution warehouse and an organic wholesaler that donate marginal produce, which typically gets reached its best buy date. Some of this produce is visibly rotting and has to be set aside, but we were able to offer food bank clients the remainder. A surprisingly wide variety of fruit and vegetables, although we're not always sure what some of it is. And the third innovation, the tray table, was introduced early last year. Now clients can exchange up to 6 items in their hamper bags for food items they prefer. This has proved very popular, and it encourages clients to return food they will not be consuming, even if they don't find a tray item they're liking. It's 12 noon and the number one flashes on a digital display. We're in business. A volunteer described as a greeter used to call out the numbers, but no more. Technology has presented a better way. We now have an LED display that is operated remotely by the volunteer at the check-in table. No more shouting, very civilized. I've had this fantasy from time to time that with number one on the board that all the clients suddenly would storm the tables at the same time. But this hasn't happened yet. In spite of the appearance and sounds of chaos, order prevails. As the clients progress past the tables, I relax. It's all in the other volunteers' hands now. That is one of the things I like about working here, being part of the team that makes this happen. I'm grateful for our volunteers. They are experienced and know their jobs. And they must enjoy what they are doing as they keep on returning. All told, 26 people members have volunteered at the food bank since 2004, and 8 of us have been here from the start. Several weeks ago, I asked John and Anita if they could tell me why they enjoyed working at the food bank. I assume they did because, like the other volunteers, they came back week after week and been volunteering since 2004. And you just heard from John, and Anita kindly also put her thoughts on paper, and I'd like to read one paragraph from what she sent to me. I willingly volunteer at the Como Lake Share Food Bank Depot because it meets a need and provides a service in a respectful and caring way, with no barriers to access. I've made new friends among the volunteers, an interesting and diverse group. We are a group willing to take on anything for which we are able and not expected to do what we can no longer manage. We share some of our personal joys and tribulations when there are a few moments to chat. We work hard. We enjoy our brief contacts with a very diverse slice of the community. And personally, I accept that we are there to do a simple task, to share the food that comes each day for distribution in a manner that tries to send everyone away with a good feeling about the atmosphere into which they come every second Wednesday. Thank you for that one. And for me, what keeps me coming back? Two of our Unitarian principles fit. The inherent worth and dignity of every person, and justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. When the opportunity to volunteer at a food bank was first offered in 2004, I jumped at the chance, as it would provide me with an alternative to what most of my other volunteer work of planning, organizing, and advocating entails. The opportunity to have a direct experience of the persons who will benefit from the service we provide. Those two Unitarian principles present a challenge to serve without judgment, to provide for all who arrive at your door, to listen. But there's more. My job here gives all of us the power to be kind. Clients need what we have to offer, and they're vulnerable. Many are distressed, they need to be here. Our job is to be of service. We have guidelines to follow, but we also have flexibility in following them. The bottom line is that we are fair and consistent. If it turns out during registration that a prospective client doesn't live in the Tri-Cities and therefore is not eligible to pick up, we still offer them a food hamper for the day. And if it's not a client's week to pick up and they arrive telling us they're out of food, we provide them with a hamper explaining we can't do this again for several months. But one of many stories, I recall several years ago, a young man, perhaps in his early 20s, who would often seem erratic and unpredictable, both waiting and going through the line. One day I became aware that he was now being accompanied by a woman who became apparent was his mother. I could see the anxiety on her face as she waited with her son. Although slow in the uptake, it dawned on me that he had a mental illness, and his mother was there to support him. I always hold back a few of the lower numbers, and I started giving one to her each time I arrived at the food bank to limit the amount of time they had to spend waiting. Then they stopped coming. But a few weeks later, the woman returned to tell me of her relief that her son had finally been accepted into the Fraser Health Lodge at Riverview, and to thank us for easing her time at the food bank. It's 3 p.m. The human mosaic is gone. The shared truck has picked up the supplies we did not hand out. The tables have been cleaned and put away. The floor has been swept and mopped. Kathy turns off the lights. The hall is once again empty, dark, cool, serene. Did any of this really happen? I'm tired, glad we are done for another day. As we drive home, we share our minor frustrations and the small joys the day has brought. I am grateful for Kathy's support and the experience we shared together. And I know next Wednesday, I'll do it all over again.